This is the Hervoy and Moritz Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right. Greetings. Some quick news before we get to our guest. Things continue to heat up geopolitically, militarily. It was just reported, I don't think I mentioned this, but Kaliningrad, if people go check your maps, that's a part of Russia that's actually not connected physically to Russia. It's separated by Lithuania and Latvia. And so Russia has to fly stuff in, send by rail and trucks, the economy, food and things like that, building materials to Kaliningrad. And Lithuania had said that they're going to not allow access anymore. So that, I mean, this is a really grave issue. People are saying, every week things just keep escalating. I mean, this is the equivalent of saying you're telling one country that it cannot have access to another part of its country. And this is grave. Now you're dealing with sovereignty issues. And so perhaps in response, today it was reported Russia's Baltic Fleet has reportedly launched live-fire exercises in the Kaliningrad region with an estimated 1,000 servicemen and over 100 units of military hardware taking part. Russia's Baltic Fleet has launched the alleged exercises following escalating tensions with Lithuania due to a blockade of Russian transit cargo, and I think a lot of it was carrying cement and, other such basic necessary building materials. And let's not forget, it was just like a month or two ago, an American general on CNN, you can go find the interview, talked about wiping Kaliningrad off the map. I mean, isn't it funny how so many things that we keep seeing and hearing keep bearing out? We've got, and now we have Lithuania cutting off Kaliningrad. So just, pay attention to what the people are saying in the news, in the mainstream news, as well as on independent and alternative media. It is important when an American general on CNN says Kaliningrad could be wiped out, and now we have Lithuania cutting off Kaliningrad and Russia having these exercises. Maybe we're going to see fireworks in that region, but I think things are just beginning, and I've got a bad gut feeling that this Ukraine war could expand territorially and basically become like a World War III scenario. And we've got Canada announcing new Arctic air and missile defenses with US. That's also a trend where the Arctic is becoming much more important. Canada's defense minister announced upgrades to Arctic air and missile defenses with the US on Monday, that's today, citing growing threats from Russia and new tech such as hypersonic missiles. And so people are dealing with the Arctic as well. The US, I think, up in Alaska has created a new segment of the army to deal with the Arctic. So you've got many countries creating Arctic missile defense or new military units to deal with the Arctic, so on and so forth. We've got China now. Again, today, a lot of developments. China offered to play the role of mediator to resolve disputes in the Horn of Africa on the opening day of a regional gathering in the Ethiopian capital. The China Horn of Africa Conference on Security, Governance, and Development is the first of its kind and underscores Beijing's determination to play a greater role in a region beset by conflict and security. So, again, this is another big development as you're seeing China gradually, slowly, globally expand its influence from here in Latin America to Africa to the Indo-Pacific. So that is definitely an interesting development. And we've got the head of the U.S. Marine Corps in the Pacific saying American forces are committed to defending the southwestern Japanese islands as allies in the region try to bolster defenses amid growing threats from China and Russia, and basically what they're doing is trying to bolster Japanese defenses in preparation for, I don't know, World War III, for when China takes Taiwan. So you can see everywhere countries are batting down the hatches, especially Japan. Another story I get to later where the Middle East wants to form an alliance with the Integrated Missile Defense, which will be for against Iran. So we've got a lot of these sorts of movements going on, and we'll be right back with our guest here on TNT Radio.
Stay up to date on the latest news.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's the Hrvoje Moric Show on TNTRadio.live. You can listen live through the website, on the smartphone app, TNT Radio, on the Google, Apple Play Stores thingies. I don't know exactly what they're called because I hate my smartphone and I try not to use it, this surveillance device. But maybe there are some of you that have de-Googled your phones or don't mind the privacy invasions. You can also listen on Rumble, YouTube, and Odyssey live. Follow us there. And of course, you can stream afterward or download the chats via the website into MP3. I'm joined once again by James Roguski, who has been calling out lies and propaganda for decades. Very courageous and brave. We need more people like that. His work can be found at jamesroguski.com. That's James, R-O-G-U-S-K-I.com, or jamesroguski.substack.com. Welcome back, James.
Well, thank you for having me. And yeah, I've got some more lies and fraud and ridiculousness to talk about. I don't even know where you would like to start first. I guess we got about 40 minutes. We'll see what we can pack in.
Yeah, I guess we could start with the main thing on the agenda and how they're going for our children and kids, as you've been recently writing about on your Substack. I guess it seems to be focused mainly on the U.S. for now, but I know in Mexico they're trying to, not as heavy as in the U.S., but push also for children these new DARPA gene therapy injections. But could you tell us, what's going on?
Well, what happened last week was the FDA held a couple of meetings and they authorized, not approved, they authorized for emergency use their injectable gene therapy, quite frankly, bioweapon, for use in children as small as 6 months old. And the absurdity of it, there's probably 50 points, that I could just rattle off that are things that they've done that just absolutely constitute clinical trial fraud. And the Vaccine Advisory Committee just kind of sort of looked the other way and unanimously said, yeah, sure, let's experiment on little babies. First and foremost, most, 75% of children in America, based on blood testing, have already been exposed to COVID. And so they've already developed natural antibodies. They have natural immunity. Even considering injecting them is really absurd. These trials were done many, many months ago, and probably the worst, it's even hard to pick what's worst, but the most egregious thing, I think, is they have two companies, and each broke it down into two different age groups, so there's really four different segments, and the first group is from 6 months to 2 years, and then depending upon Pfizer or Moderna, from 2 years to 4 years or 2 years to 5 years. And they started, each group with 1,000 or more or 2,000 or more children. And by the time the Pfizer study was, it's not really completed, but by the time they reported their data, 2/3 of the children had already gone missing. I mean, they just were not tracking 2/3 of the participants, as of April 29th. And, that's kind of like rule number one in a clinical trial. Sure, a couple of people will drop out because there's always, some reason why people don't stay in the study. But when you lose 2/3 of the participants, you have to ask for some information about, well, what happened to those two-thirds of the kids? But it actually even gets worse than that. They essentially threw out any of the data that they got in terms of actual real-world observations as to whether or not the children did or did not get COVID or did or did not end up in the hospital or die. Nobody died. Nobody went to the hospital. More of the children who got one shot of the Pfizer got COVID than the people who got the placebo. And so they, you know, they had a negative 30% efficacy rate. And so, you know, a lot of people went away. They reconstituted it, gave them a third shot, which wasn't part of the original plan, which is just another sign of fraud. And then they changed it all around and they said, well, we're going to use this theoretical concept called immunobridging. And that'll hurt your brain to try to really understand it. And so the English language explanation is, you know, in my mind, is it's fraud. But what they claim it to be is that, well, they changed the definition of a vaccine. And I believe it was back in September or so of 2021. I have to get the exact date because the CDC changed the definition. And, you know, you have to go back onto the Wayback Machine on archive.org and figure out when they changed it. It used to be that a vaccine was defined as something that would prevent disease. Now it's just defined as something that will trigger an immune response. Well, you know, you could inject chicken soup into your arm and measure an immune response. That doesn't mean, you know, chicken soup is a vaccine. And so they ended up only using, since there's four different categories in these studies, they used 80 or 140 or 230 or 260 children. So they're basing their determination on, you know, injecting the world, because everybody follows the FDA, they're going to inject, you know, American children based on, you know, 80 measurements of antibodies to an injection of a spike protein that's from the original Wuhan strain, which everybody who's paying attention knows doesn't work against Omicron and all the variants that are coming up in the future. But they don't care.
Yeah, I would just add, again, I'm looking at the slide as you're talking about mm-hmm. this, and people can go again to jamesroguski.substack.com and follow along and delve into that material. And I thank you again because you do the dirty work. I had watched a clip of another interview you gave where you said you watched 8 hours, if not 16 hours, of C-SPAN-like presentations by the FDA. I mean, I probably would have to drink five coffees to get through that stuff, but you really boil everything down for the lay people like us to digest this. But it, and everything you're saying, I'm looking at the chart, this is mind-boggling. Like, I see what you're talking about. It's complete fraud.
You know, 98 out of 1,000 participants who got the injection got COVID. Okay. And in the older group, 127 children got COVID. Okay. Now, you know, children of that age may be exposed to COVID and everybody has a different response. You know, we've all gotten colds and flus and things like that. And everybody gets it a little bit different. Sometimes it's mild. Sometimes you barely notice. Sometimes you're over in a day. Sometimes it really knocks you down. Okay. But you survive and you develop an immunity to that strain. And, you know, the next year there's another strain and you have to deal with it. And so the egregious aspects of this are with Moderna specifically. Okay. Moderna, the injection for children has eight times, actually more than eight times as much of the mRNA as Pfizer does. And so they also had quite a larger number of side effects, you know, severe, they categorize severe adverse events and adverse events requiring medical attention, right? And so in Moderna, the children who got the Moderna product were five times as likely to get a severe adverse event as the placebo group in the babies, and three times as likely to get an adverse event in the children that are 2 to 5 year old. And part of that is they're giving the same dose to little tiny babies as they are to 5 year olds. And so there was a three times more likely for the kids who were small who got the injection versus the kids who were older and you know weighed more. The smaller babies were three times as likely as the bigger children to get a severe adverse reaction. And 38% of them had an adverse event that required medical attention. And so, you know, I wish I could, you know, speak to each and every parent in the country, you know, in advance of them rushing to go to the pharmacy to have, you know, some stranger inject some unknown, you know, compounds into their baby's arm. They're going to go home and they don't realize that there's, you know, a better than 1 out of 3 chance that they're going to need medical attention. Now, it might not happen instantaneously. It might not be an anaphylactic reaction. It might be something that happens the next day, like a fever or some such thing. You know, the average parent, you know, is really not going to be prepared for this, because the parent who rushes their kid to get one of these injections has to be so unaware of, you know, what has been going on to be able, you know, to be where they want to do that. You know, I really feel for them, because I feel that they've been hypnotized and they're going to do something that it seems like, you know, 1 out of 3 chances are they're going to need medical assistance to care for their child. You know, hopefully their child survives it. You know, children are very resilient, but, you know, this horror story is probably happening as we speak.
If you could just go a bit more about the damage that is being done. I mean, we're talking about infants and children here, and I'm seeing on the website that even it's, I think it's from the FDA's own screenshot that says important potential risks, talking about a lot of stuff we've already known, myocarditis and pericarditis, things that are, I would assume, I think are permanent, like damage to different organs. But I mean, I think even death we could see in some of these infants or children, and maybe death that doesn't come about immediately, no, that could come about months later, 6 months, 12 months later, 2 years, 3 years, something that will affect them down the line. What are some of the serious things that can happen?
Well, the core issue is the realization that, you know, this is a genetic altering material. It goes everywhere in the body. It absolutely has been found to concentrate in the ovaries. So if it's a little baby girl, not only will it concentrate in the ovaries, it can have an impact on the eggs that that baby would need when she becomes an adult to become pregnant and have a child. So we're actually talking about a multi-generational extinction level event here. There was a study that I just saw today, not about children. It was, I believe, an Israeli study, but it had already gone through peer review, and it was studying sperm count in men. And, you know, it was dramatically lowered, you know, for a number of months after each injection, which would imply that it gets into the testes. And so, you know, we're dealing with things that, you know, we don't have the long-term studies to show in any, even not even remotely close, that these things are safe. And what people don't understand is this is not an approved treatment. This is still a study. It's still experimental. It's only been authorized for emergency use. And, you know, there is no emergency with children, because, you know, an emergency as defined in the law is the ailment would, you know, have to cause you know, an order of magnitude more deaths amongst children of this age group. And there are actually studies that have shown that, believe it or not, you know, the World Health Organization put out a study where children during the whole COVID era are actually dying at a lower rate. Okay, they're surviving just fine. And so it's the opposite of an emergency. They should be trying to figure out why kids are doing so well rather than messing up their immune system that isn't, you know, giving them trouble to begin with. This is, you know, fraud is the nicest word I can come up with it. This is an attempt at mass murder of not just the next generation, but the generation after that.
Yeah, and it's an important point you made, that there is no emergency. So why should anyone want to take these shots? There is no emergency, and we're going to have to go to our first break. Again, you can visit James Roguski's website, jamesroguski.com. That's James, R-O-G-U-S-K-I, as well as jamesroguski.substack.com. You can subscribe there for free if you like, or as a paid subscriber. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
Shannon Joy on TNT Radio.
This is why they fear her so much. Brooke Jackson, I know it was a long introduction, but I just wanted to lay the groundwork because I am so impressed by you and everything you do. Welcome to the Shannon Joy Show.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about the FDA. You mentioned that you were listening to this circus sideshow. It's really just a matter of crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and going through the motions, right? They want this shot into the arms of the babies. I will give you some good news, though. In New York State, recently, as recent as 4 to 6 weeks ago, they're saying this in the polling, how few parents have actually gone out and had their kids vaccinated. They make us think that everyone's doing it, but I think the reality is that more and more parents are very quietly refusing.
It does make me feel better, yes. I actually just read a poll recently that 73% of Americans have reservations about these shots.
Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Nearly every day, we hear dire predictions about climate change from the media establishment, Hollywood, and politicians. They tell us that the world is coming to an end because normal human activity is raising the temperature to dangerous levels. To avoid a hellish apocalypse, they warn us we must immediately change our lifestyles and our very way of life. But are these sensational claims based on solid empirical science? Do the facts line up with the hype? Well, an increasing number of scientists are becoming skeptical. We covered what many of these scientists had to say in our first groundbreaking film, Climate Hustle. From overhyped claims about severe weather events, temperatures, rising sea levels, and even disappearing polar bears, Climate Hustle peeled back the hype and looked at the facts, facts that simply don't add up to any reason for alarm. So this begs the questions. Why would those claiming a global warming catastrophe spread a false narrative? What would motivate them? Why would they try to hustle you? Are they trying to control the climate or you? Well, those are the questions we're going to explore in this film. And the answers may shock you. Order your DVD, Blu-ray, or digital copy today of Climate Hustle 2.
To find out more, go to climatehustle2.com.
In many countries around the world, medical care is scarce. Countless millions have no access to safe surgery. Mercy Ships is there to help. Mercy Ships provides free surgeries for the thousands of those who are waiting for surgery at each port.
Mercy Ships is bringing services to countries that would otherwise never be able to access those services.
Find out how you can help by visiting our website at mercyships.org. That's mercyships.org.
The news and talk you can't hear anywhere else.
It gives you some awareness of what's really going on.
Where things are at, even around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back on the Hrvoje Moric Show with James Roguski of jamesroguski.substack.com. And you had mentioned that Israeli study. I was actually going to bring that up. And reading the result made me think of the Bill Gates TED Talk from 2010, and how over the last many years we've all experienced all of this, these people insulting us, calling us conspiracy theories and conspiracy theorists. And it's like the data speaks for itself now. And you go back to that talk, you can read the transcript, and Bill Gates literally says, I mean, this guy's a software programmer talking about climate and vaccines and health, right? So first of all, why is anyone listening to him? And the criticism we get is like, oh, we're not allowed to talk about this stuff because we're not experts in this field. But Bill Gates can. But anyways, he said that we could reduce the population up to 15% using vaccines. That's literally what he said. It's not a conspiracy theory. And this study that you talked about, I was looking at it, and it says regarding the Pfizer COVID vaccines that, quote, repetitive measurements revealed a minus 15.4% sperm concentration decrease, end quote, I guess in men who took the vaccine. It's not an exact, you know, mathematical comparison, but when you hear Bill Gates talking about 15% decline in population using vaccines, and then you have this COVID vaccine study saying, well, 15% of sperm concentration decreases. I mean, to me, it's crystal clear what they're trying to do. And one avenue is this attacking fertility. We know pregnant women who've taken these vaccines have lost their kids, and now men are having issues with their sperm. Any thoughts on this fertility aspect to the vaccines?
Well, you know, one of the advertisements that played in the break just a moment ago talked about how possibly much fewer people than the media would have you believe are actually getting these injections. And some of the statistics I came across was that in the 6 to 11 age group in the United States, 33% had been injected, which means that, you know, 2/3 were not. And so that 1/3 allowing themselves to be injected, you know, I feel that those people went through a lot of coercion, you know, 6 to 11 year olds in terms of, oh, well, you need this to go to school or to play sports or to travel or, you know, to do whatever. And so 2/3 pushback is nowhere near enough. But I think people are going to be a lot more hesitant with their younger children and certainly infants. But there are some problems that I see. The one I mentioned earlier, you know, I've already heard reports and I've seen people, you know, publicly say, oh, they can't wait. You know, they've already booked an appointment to go to their local pharmacy or wherever they're going to go to get their kids jabbed as soon as possible. And you know, that's frightening to just go to have really a stranger stick a needle in you. My question to anybody who's ever gotten the jab is, you know, there's people that have gone to Dodger Stadium. They've gone to their local pharmacy. It's like, do you know the name and the phone number and the email address of the people and maybe multiple people who jabbed you? Because the person who sticks the needle in your arm is actually legally the person who is obligated to report any of your potential adverse events to VAERS. And how in the world could they do that when you don't know how to get a hold of them, let alone hold them accountable for, you know, giving you all of the information that they needed to give you before you consented? And so I am not a fan of the phrase informed consent, because if you're informed, you're going to not give your consent. It should be informed non-consent. What we have is uninformed consent. What we need is informed non-compliance or non-consent. And so the second aspect that I see that is potentially even more problematic is there will be those parents who, you know, it's going to cost money to make an appointment to go see your doctor to have, you know, a pediatrician provide the infant with these injections. And what is very likely to happen, and it, to me, it's just absolutely frightening, is they're going to go, oh, well, you know, while you're here, we'll stick your baby 4, 5, 6 more times because, you know, maybe they're behind in all their other shots. And there have been no studies on, you know, the complications of jacking a baby's immune system around, you know, multiple times in a short period of time like that. That's why some people have outrageously horrible problems. you know, what are they going to say? Well, we don't know which vaccine it was because we gave you 10 at once. I had heard from someone yesterday, not a child by any stretch of the imagination, is a person who had cancer treatment, and he's in the hospital for cancer treatment, and the nurse shows up at the side of the bed with 41 vaccinations that she was prepared to give him all at once. Now, if that isn't insane, evil, and just disgusting, you know, he obviously refused it. But then another nurse came and, you know, tried to do the same thing. And, you know, the level of fraud and insanity and lack of, you know, true scientific thought, it makes me believe that Charles Darwin was right on one aspect, that not so much necessarily just evolution, but there is a natural selection process. And it seems like we're being, you know, we're undergoing an evolutionary pressure to weed out gullible people. It's like, if you're gullible and you fall for this stuff, man, are you going to pay the price? And so will, unfortunately, your young children. Please get informed. You know, please understand that they're hiding information from you. They're lying to you. And if you believe what they say on the news, you and your children will be the ones who suffer the consequences.
I would agree on that point, that it's like the strong are surviving and the weak are dying. And, you know, in my brief experience with pediatricians, you mentioned it's known that often doctors in the Western world, especially, they don't have time for you. They got like 5 or 10 minutes. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned this with you last time. We had to renew our.
We
got our passports. We got them, but you know, one pediatrician, the conventional one, we had to wait months to get an appointment with him. And then when you do, you don't have that much time. And then, as you said, all they're obsessed about is injecting your kid. How is that health? And then we the last time I recall, there was a couple in line next to us, and you know they were anxious about getting the vaccine for their kid. And just the wool that's been pulled over people's eyes, it's like that big lie, right? When you talk about Nazi Germany and how the little lies are easier to see through because everyone tells or has told little lies so they can detect them when other people do that, but they could never imagine a big lie being propagated because they could never imagine themselves propagating such a huge lie because they would be afraid to get caught. But then we see in history these big lies being propagated and believed, whether it's from, you know, what we're discussing or you know, global warming or whatever. But how you mentioned these nurses, what is going on in their minds, do you think? Do you think they're true believers and they've bought into the big lie?
Well, they certainly have bought into little lie after little lie after little lie after little lie. And then at some point, you know, you close down your vision, you know, to anything that is in opposition to what you've been trained. You know, for me, it's a wonderful, special, grand and glorious day when somebody says to me, James, you're wrong. And here I'm going to prove it to you. And they proceed to actually prove me wrong. It's like, oh my God, you are my best friend. How in the world, you know, did I not know what I now know? Okay. I don't have a hesitancy to be shown that I have something still to learn. Okay. That's a glorious moment. And especially when you actually have to unlearn something that you think you knew, right? Now, I may have told you this story, but I don't think I did. I trace this all the way back to an experience that I had in fifth grade. In fifth grade, I was in Ohio, and I went to a Catholic parochial school, and my teacher was a nun, Sister Mary Ursula, and she was teaching us about the national parks of the United States. And she mentioned Yosemite Park. And I said, you know, sister, pardon me, but you know, I watch Bugs Bunny every Saturday, and he's got this character called Yosemite Sam. It's spelled the same way. Is it pronounced Yosemite or Yosemite? Okay. And that was the moment when I personally learned that my teachers could make mistakes. Now, I don't know if she took that in stride and from that point forward started teaching everyone that it was Yosemite, all right? But she'd been teaching for decades. So how many kids grew up thinking it was Yosemite? Now, maybe it is Yosemite, and maybe I'm wrong still, okay? But, you know, the point is, I got a very easy lesson at a very young age that the people that are put in a position of authority could certainly be incorrect. And now, obviously, that didn't matter, but yet it did matter because, you know, I can, you know, from fifth grade on, I had to, you know, realize that everything I was being taught might be wrong. And so when somebody tells me that I've got something wrong, they're my best buddy. But psychologically, most people, they want it the other way. They don't want anyone to question anything that they currently believe.
Yeah, I don't think you did share that story. And I wanted to get back to the FDA and I guess CDC and or whatever other alphabet agencies.
They have another outrageous something coming. And I'm actually just about ready to publish the next article on jamesroguski.substack.com. On next Tuesday, the 28th, they will be having a meeting where they're very vague about what it is this meeting is supposed to be about. But it appears that what they're going to be talking about is something that they kind of sort of refer to as the future framework. And they're apparently going to be contemplating giving pre-approval to all of the vaccine manufacturers to change the mRNA sequence and give a new round of boosters without actually testing that new specific ingredient. Basically just saying, oh yeah, you know, everything's been working so great so far. If you want to change the genetic sequence of the mRNA, go right ahead. That appears to be what they are going to be contemplating. And that should just scare the bejeebers out of everybody, because that's just, you know, an open pathway to endless genetic therapy without any kind of study, safety study, placebo control. That's just flies, you know. I mean, science has been long thrown out the window. It's been in the garbage can for the longest time. But, you know, this is, if there's any more nails to be put in the coffin of science, this certainly should be the last one. Because to just say you can change the ingredients in a study and not have to do anything different and just say it's all fine and dandy, you know, science is dead. And the FDA's credibility and the CDC's credibility is dead with it.
Science definitely is dead. And I think we'll go to our second break. Again, the website is jamesroguski.substack.com, and we'll be right back here on TNT Radio.
Doubling down on failure. President Biden's Treasury Secretary claims we need to be more dependent on unreliable solar and wind power.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In a U.S. Senate hearing, Biden Treasury Secretary said that we need to become more dependent on the wind and the sun to power our energy.
The critical thing is that we become more dependent on the wind and the sun that are not subject to geopolitical influences.
Yes, you heard that right. Doubling down on unreliable solar and wind power while we continue to shut down fossil fuels in America and the West. This is bonkers. And the idea that there's no geopolitical influences in solar and wind when 90% of the U.S. solar panels come from China and we have to depend on China for rare earth mining, that is also bonkers. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
A man's home is his castle, but his men's shed, that's his kingdom. There are now more than 1,000 men's sheds across Australia. And they're more than just a shed. You can make things, grow things, find a mate, be a mate, shoulder to shoulder. The Australian Men's Shed Association can help to find a shed near you.
There's something for you at the Men's Shed.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
George Soros is one of the United States' top political and advocacy donors, spending billions on campaigns, think tanks, startups, and non-profits that promote his agenda. His principal philanthropic network includes the Open Society Foundations and Foundation to Promote Open Society, two multi-billion dollar left-of-center grant-making foundations. Through these organizations, Soros has funded the vast majority of the most prominent left progressive advocacy groups in the United States. Financial ties between the Black Lives Matter movement and Soros have been reported, as well as financial ties to Occupy Wall Street through intermediaries like the Tide Center. The network of Soros-funded organizations indirectly touches 30 media organizations. George Soros spent tens of millions on political campaigns affiliated with the Democratic Party in 2016 and heavily supported Hillary Clinton. In the first 3 months of 2020, George Soros had put $28.3 million into various efforts to support the Democratic side in the 2020 election. In August 2021, Soros contributed $1 million to support California Governor Gavin Newsom in his recall election against Republican challengers.
This is where you get your daily ration of high-velocity conversation. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with James Roguski of jamesroguski.substack.com on our final stretch. And we've been talking about the FDA and this crazy stuff that they're doing. And my impression is more and more that America is the trendsetter. So whatever the USA does, everyone else copies. And it seems like what you were talking about, what they're about to do with FDA and these kids shots, other countries are going to emulate this. And I think one of the mechanisms by which this happens is through a lot of these different NGOs and you know the State Department, USAID, all of these different programs that are in these foreign countries that kind of propose and assist these other countries in carrying this stuff out. What are your thoughts on the effects, ramifications this could have for the rest of the world?
Well, unfortunately, many nations don't have the amount of money required to just test the enormous number of medications and so forth that are put out by the pharmaceutical companies. So they do rely on the FDA, but the FDA has clearly become a cheerleading squad and a sales and marketing team for Big Pharma. They're supposed to be a regulatory body that asks Big Pharma the tough questions and demands that they prove things are safe and that they do the research. And in an ideal world, would actually do independent studies. It's like, think about this, people. The company that's trying to push this product is the only one who's actually doing the study. And so, if you think about anything else that you would utilize in your life, and the only opinions, and the only research that could be done into that something was done by the company that was trying to push it on you, you wouldn't be suspect of the information, okay? Whether it's a computer or dinner or a car or a house or, you know, some kind of a service, there is no independent research being done on these things that they are saying have to be rushed through because it's an emergency. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't sense the emergency other than, you know, the emergency of needing to pay attention to what these people are trying to do to our society. It needs to stop. People are not afraid of a bug. They're afraid of society crumbling because of the insanity that, you know, is circulating. And if there's any pandemic, it's a pandemic of insanity and a lack of awareness and the belief in what authority figures say. And these committee meetings couldn't have been any more clear. They did not look at the information that was presented. Moderna literally did not use any of their data in their risk and benefit analysis. They used a computer model. I mean, they literally just did not use any of their data because their data wasn't very good in sense of promoting their product and supporting their product. They just did a computer model. And, you know, anybody who understands what that is at all, you can model it to come out any damn way you want. And they literally put four or five pages of mumbo jumbo and they go, see, it works. And the supposed experts that are members of the Vaccine Advisory Committee missed the data that was flying by. And they essentially said, well, you know, we have to message better and we have to give people choice. Okay. Well, Moderna for 6 to 17 years old, clearly the data that they presented showed that it was far more likely to cause myocarditis in that age group. Is that a choice? Do you want to give people the choice of having something that is more damaging? The insanity seems to know no bounds at all. And so, you know, I realize that it's a waste of time to try to inform and convince people who do not care to be informed or convinced. And so, you know, the work I do is to try to make it easier for people who do appreciate information and do, not have the time to go through hours and hours of videos and thousands of pages of documents. I just simply try to summarize it and put it in a form that the people who want to learn, I shorten the learning curve dramatically, I believe, for the people who read my articles. I get wonderful feedback. People are very appreciative. And, it's a service that I can provide. I'm good at reading through this stuff and finding the bullshit. And let me tell you, folks, there's an awful lot of bullshit. You don't got to dig too hard to find it. It's just getting deeper and deeper and deeper.
Just to add on what you said and the recent experience I had, you know, where not spending time on people who don't want to see it. They've doubled down on their Stockholm syndrome. I agree. And as well as people are afraid of being wrong, as you said earlier. And just over like the past week, I've met three separate couples that are my age and they're talking about traveling to Europe. I'm thinking about going home to visit in Europe. And I could just tell by the way the conversation was going and kind of that look in their eyes where these people are vaxxed. They've got their vax ports and they were talking about going through countries that I know have restrictions that you need to have the vaccine certificate. So I know, it's like they go along with the crowd there just to be able to for convenience, like, look, I can easily go to Europe now, go through Spain, which I think has restrictions. And I'm like, I have to figure out, okay, Turkey just lifted the restrictions, no PCR tests or anything needed to get to Turkey. So I got to find the loopholes, like, okay, I can get to Turkey and then from Turkey I can get home. But these, and it's just like what everything that you're saying, like they throw just for these little trivial conveniences, They are risking their health for the rest of their life and their children's health just for, you know, just so they can feel special, that they can easily, you know, travel and other such trivial things like this. It's mind boggling. But I don't know. You've got another article called Pandemic of the Vaccinated. And I don't know if you've got any insight about this stuff about shedding, because I was talking with someone over the weekend here in Mexico. It seems that this year there's more people are getting sick more frequently, including myself. Like, it's a sickness that's more contagious, and it's obvious that this is not usual in children especially. So there's something going around that's more contagious, but not, you know, it's mild. It's like a mild cold or a flu, but it just keeps coming back again and back again. I'm wondering if it's like the vaccinated people around me who are shedding. It's just we can't explain what's going on. We're getting sick more often. It's mild. It's more contagious. And I'm thinking, you know, possibly the people who are vaccinated could, I don't know, that could be a potential cause. I don't know if you have any insight.
You know, there are ample studies that, you know, shortly after being injected, the shedding of the lipid nanoparticles and some of the other things, you know, the FDA had guidance to pharmaceutical companies that they needed, you know, to account for that. And that if a pregnant woman was to come into proximity of, you know, someone who was in the trial, that would be considered an event that needed to be reported. You know, they are very well aware that gene therapy treatments can go from person to person. Originally, these things were meant for cancer patients. And so, you know, it wasn't thought of as a quote unquote vaccination. It was thought of as some kind of therapy. I had a friend who was considering, this is slightly different, but the point I think we'll get across, was considering some kind of radioactive therapy. And, you know, they were going to inject radioactive compounds to a tumor. And, you know, he was told that he would have to sleep in a separate room from his wife because he would be radioactive. Okay. And so if you're injected with something that clearly has been shown to come out in a person's sweat, or, you know, the oil that is secreted onto your skin and can be transferred via contact or possibly become airborne, you know, this is not rocket science, people. If you eat garlic and you realize that the garlic that you eat is oozing out of every pore in your body and everyone can smell the fact that you've eaten garlic, it's not a far stretch to think that some other nano-sized particle could do the same. It's astonishing. You know, if you're wearing a mask and you can smell something, don't you think that that means that the chemicals have gotten around or through your mask? You know, common sense shouldn't be called common sense. It, you know, it really should be called something much more rare. If you just look and pay attention and think, you know, when women who are well into menopause are, or little young girls are in the presence of people who've been vaccinated, and they suddenly, you know, out of the blue, get vaginal bleeding, you have to ask, at the very least, what happened? Now, it may or may not be, you know, the reason that anybody thinks, but you can't deny, you know, that the possibility exists. And, you know, denial seems to be a big thing. And so I don't know how, you know, I honestly don't know how you can treat people for chronic denial. You know, it's really an attitude. You either are open-minded and you want to explore and see what, you know, might be a reasonable explanation for something, or you don't want to have to think, and you want every one of your cherished beliefs to remain unchallenged forever. And it seems like that's the kind of personality that is going through an evolutionary pressure right now and may very well, you know, gradually be being eliminated from the human race, because if they keep their head in the sand much longer, they're going to get one kick in the butt that they didn't see coming. And the unfortunate thing at this point in time is it's really their children who, through no fault of their own, are going to be put into a situation because their parents are of that mindset. And so, you know, I pray for all the children of this country and the world. I hope they were born to parents who are open-minded and still are able to think wisely, because otherwise they're going to be really in a difficult situation.
And denial is not a river in Egypt. Bad joke. We're out of time. And we didn't get a chance to talk about another piece you had on Ecuador, which I feel is like phase two of COVID-1984, where countries and economies are collapsing. We're seeing it in Ecuador, Sri Lanka, and in more places. JamesRoguski.substack.com is the website. Subscribe. We're out of time. 15 seconds left. Thank you, James, for coming back on. And we'll be right back after the break here on TNT Radio.
Thank you very much.